Good morning, Rabotai. We are continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We're in the fourth pasuk, learning about ahava that's healthy and unhealthy ahava. Today's class has been generously sponsored by Isaac Dwet in honor of his wife Eileen, in appreciation of her encouragement and support of his Torah learning. We've been speaking about the subject of spoiling children. You know, sometimes there are words that people use that they mean whatever they mean, and they use them but don't really understand their profound meaning and effect. So sometimes you'll hear people say, I love to spoil my children. Almost as if to say that spoiling is a choice of preference. There are people who spoil their children and there are people who don't. I like to spoil my children. It's obvious that they don't really know what the word spoil means. Let me tell you what it means when we say a child is spoiled. Sometimes we have to fill in the full translation so it's very clear, so this way we don't make a mistake. A child who is spoiled is a child who only sees himself. He's a person who sees everybody as a tool to get what he needs and what he wants. A spoiled person is someone who always feels like a victim. Why are you always asking me to do things for you? You're not always asking him, and he's not always doing. But that's what he feels. Because once you're spoiled, like the word means, there's something rotten in you. And even if you're asked to do something every once in a while, you already feel like you're being taken advantage of. Because in your sick mind, the world is there to service you. And any time that you're servicing somebody else, even once, it's already too much. Because you're spoiled. It doesn't make sense why the world should be serving you, logically, but it doesn't matter because logic has nothing to do with this. A person feels this way, that's his reality. So we have a self-centered victim. This person is always voicing his lack of satisfaction. Very hard to satisfy him. You buy him shoes? I don't know. Not so sure. You buy him a nice suit? The color, he's a little off. Not exactly what I would have chosen myself. You get him a car, the sound is not the way it should be. And many such examples of things that come up with bigger gifts that he got for free and smaller ones constantly. Dinner is, it's all right. I'm really not so in the mood for it, but I'll have it. Do you a favor, Mom. I'll have it. That's all you made tonight? Only four things? Oh. Don't you know I don't like this? You only gave me $1 million? I know how much money you have. I was supposed to get 10. Not getting enough. You gave my brother $1,010,000. Why are you shorting me 10?
Two. Oh,
wow. His house, you bought it the minute he got married. Me, you waited 2 years. This doesn't end when they get bigger. A spoiled person doesn't become well when they get older. Spoiled things don't become nice and clean and healthy. Healthy things can become spoiled, but spoiled things don't get better. So once you're spoiled, it's taking you on the road of life. You might say to yourself, oh yeah, when they're little, because they're kids. Aren't they cute? How they complain that they don't get enough. They're so abus. But wise people understand that this is a track of life that continues through and through. This type of person very often is a kafui toval. Kafui toval means he doesn't have the ability to recognize all the favors that are done for him by his parents, by his grandparents, by his friends, by his rabbis, by his teachers, by his employers, by anybody. It's not that kind of person that recognizes and is thankful, is appreciative. It's not so much he doesn't know how to say thank you. It's more that he's not thankful. He'll say thank you, but he's not really a thankful person. He doesn't really appreciate. Meaning the problem is way beyond the words that he doesn't use or does use. It's not, that's just an external word that he may use or not. It's way beyond that. He is not appreciative, which means he doesn't feel he's receiving anything. So it hurts him and others. It hurts him because he should be so happy by the many gifts that he's getting from the people that care for him. But at the same time, he's not showing them how he appreciates them. So A, he's unhappy, and B, he makes them frustrated. That's a spoiled person. A spoiled person has a lot of difficulty with friends. Very hard to have good friendships when you're spoiled. Number one, when you're spoiled, you always have to win. So you'll find a spoiled child when they lose a game that they're not very pleasant to be around. You'll find them playing a game and constantly negative talk, screaming, yelling, anger, putting down. And they'll say, oh, he's so competitive. He's spoiled. Not competitive, he's spoiled. There's something nice about competing and trying to win. All that's beautiful. But when it gets to a unhealthy competitiveness, where you start to belittle people and you start to get angry and you lose your menuhata nefesh, your peace of mind because of a game. Because it's not about the game. You know how many people say that? Ah, but it's only a game. It's only a game for you, but for him it's much bigger than a game. For him, he's a person who's spoiled, which means whatever he wants, he needs to get. It doesn't matter if it's a toothpick or it's a car or it's a game. If he wants to win, he is entitled to be a winner. And if he's not winning, someone is taking it away from him. And therefore, he needs to fight back. It's a very ugly type of situation when you watch someone in such a way. Obviously, there are different levels of unhealthiness. But we've seen people that are so unhealthy that anything that goes wrong, even during a silly game, is a reason to get upset and angry and fight. And very hard to have real friends when you're such a person, because you don't only compete for a basketball game, but you compete for attention. You compete for anything and everything that's relevant. Anytime there's an interaction, it becomes a competition. People don't like to be around such people. So automatically, you're going to end up with very few friends. And even the friends you end up with are probably people like yourself. Because there's nobody else, no quality person wants to be uncomfortable with another person who's fighting all the time. Not only are they fighting all the time, but they're also super sensitive. Spoiled people are usually very sensitive. Because since everything is about them, so everything is translated in their mind that happens has to do with them. If someone said something, it's probably because they thought about them. So they're hinting to something. If someone didn't call them back, it's because they didn't like them. Maybe the guy's busy. Maybe you're sleeping. No. Can't be sleeping. Can't be busy. Because all about me. Again, doesn't make any sense. But that's what a spoiled person is. Who wants to be friendly with somebody who you have to be afraid if you don't call him back right away? He's going to be angry and upset. Who wants to hang out with somebody who at any moment could blow up because of something that was, in his mind, said the wrong way? Spoiled people have a hard time with friends. And then, of course, as they get older, sometimes they have a very hard time dating. Again, the same attitude. It comes out when you're in any relationship. You see, the spoiled person is not a bad person. He's not even doing it on purpose. It's not like he thinks about everything I'm talking about. He doesn't sit down and make a list of all the things that he's going to live by. These are not commandments that he sees on paper. It's just his reality without even having to think. So it comes out everywhere. He goes on a date and he doesn't realize the things he does, the things he says, the things he reacts. And then he's struggling and doesn't know why. And it's hard to even tell him why, because he's not ready to understand or to hear. And then marriage doesn't get much better. Same story. Person who has that attitude when they get married, it's very hard. Marriage is sacrifice. Marriage is putting others ahead. Marriage is being able to handle when things don't go exactly your way. That little kid on the basketball court that's screaming and yelling is the same guy in the house. We like to departmentalize things. There's this, but that's nothing to do with real life. That's on the basketball court. That's on the football field. That's just in business. Business is business. As you grow older and wiser, you realize it's the same story. People don't change from place to place. They take themselves and go wherever they go. To say, I love to spoil my children, is such a ridiculous line. You're creating selfish, angry people who have a hard time with friends, have a hard time dating, have a hard time getting married, have a hard time in general in life. They have a hard time in school, they can't listen to anybody. Everything has to be done the way they like, the class they want, the teacher that they appreciate. And usually such children, parents buy right into it. They're right behind them. You're right, that teacher's not good. You don't know what you did to my kid. What you did to your kid? This and this. I hear what she said. You hear what? Who told you all this? Ask him. Go ahead. Tell us what she did to you. Now you have to remember, you're listening from a mouth of a spoiled person. So anything that was said is translated in his sick mind. He's very unreliable. Doesn't mean he's always wrong, but he's very unreliable. So he has all kinds of issues. He goes to school, he has issues. He can't machnia himself. He can't lower himself to anybody. So he can't learn from anybody. Parents are protecting him in school, but one day, who's going to protect them when they try to help him? When he feels his parents are also off, the same way all his teachers for 12 years were off. Amazing, what luck he had. For 12 years, every teacher was not the right one. Must not be the teachers, it must be the people who choose the teachers. Must be the whole school's off. This is a real story, this is not an exaggeration. You're spoiling your child, that means you should send them to work at the age of 5 or 6 because there's no point to go to school. How will he listen to anybody? How could he listen to anybody? Of course, there's more. There's much more. There's business. There's going to work. When you have to go out there and make parnasa, you have to learn. Learning means working for people. It means watching somebody. It means asking questions. Of course, when you're spoiled, it's very hard to work for somebody. It's hard to learn from somebody. As much as you want to, but you just can't do it. You can't follow rules, even if the rules are necessary. Of course, life has many, many challenges along the way of life. I just gave you some obvious examples, but the daily challenges of life are endless. Things don't go your way. Someone cuts you off. Someone takes your parking spot. Someone buys the house that you were looking to buy. There's no end. Someone dates the girl you thought was perfect for you. Your child isn't exactly the way you wanted it to be. You're not making exactly as much money as you thought you should make. You lost money in the stock market. You thought you should have made money, but instead you lost money. Not only do you count what you lost, you also count what you should have gained as a loss. So you're down like $50 million, even though you only started with $100. Because in your mind, if only the guy would have bought it on time, and your friend would have told you earlier, he would have been in the right group of people. $50 million he lost. There are many, many people. Don't have much, and they feel they're down millions and millions of dollars because of people who haven't done what they're supposed to do, who haven't stepped up the way they're supposed to step up, opportunities that weren't given the way they should have been. The daily challenges of life in any area automatically becomes a source of discomfort and pain and blame, weakness, no muscle, emotional muscles to carry the challenges of life, nervousness that's constant, always watching or looking behind your back to see who's coming against you next. So many people are against me. Who's the next one? I feel the whole world against me. Again, it doesn't make any sense. But that's the reality of a spoiled person. Think twice when you say, I spoil my children. Think twice before you make decisions for your people, for the people you care about. It's not about a piece of gum. Not about anything else but their health for the next 120 years. Of course, when it comes to religion, very hard for a person to be spoiled and to be connected. Because it takes the same humility that he doesn't have. It takes listening, learning, going through the sacrifices that are often necessary to become something. It takes waking up early and sometimes sleeping late and still waking up early again. It takes dealing with things that are not so comfortable, whether it's from people or from wherever. Dealing with expectations that weren't met. How can a person be connected to the Torah and to Hashem if he doesn't have perseverance? Very often, such a person who wants so much more, it's not like he doesn't want. When they get older, after they're spoiled, it's not that they don't want. They want. But it's like a disability, God forbid. It takes a lot of work to get out of it. They want, but it's hard. Worrying, anxieties, scared, blame. You all know the story. I'm not telling you the story of any alien from planet Mars. I'm telling you a story that people in your own families. I don't have to prepare for this class like major preparation of wisdom. It's something we see around us everywhere. Obviously, there are different levels of spoiled, but it's all around us. And we see people suffering. This is not about blaming people. It's about waking people up and realize what their actions are causing. Sometimes we're very frustrated with things and results, but very often we don't connect them back to what could be important sources that led to that. The point of understanding this isn't to feel depressed, it's to learn from it. It's to understand cause and effect and to start a new page. No matter what the age is, to start a new understanding of how to deal with people that we love. It's dealing with students, not always with ahava. I told you, today's world is all love. The student has to be loved all the time, but the student has to be also put in his place. If he's not taught to be put in his place, he'll never grow up to be a functioning successful person. It cannot be that the student feels that the rabbi needs him. It cannot be that he feels that the rabbi is there because the rabbi needs to have a student learning from him. It's the worst thing we can do. When we make a child feel that he is needed by the school, by his teacher. There's a lot of that today. It's very unhealthy when we run after a child. It's unhealthy for him. You could run after his mother or father, don't run after him. He needs to feel that he's privileged to be here. Because if he thinks you need him, it's over. The whole relationship becomes about him. There's endless examples. Endless situations that a wise parent is aware of to make sure that these things don't happen. The way we speak about their teachers, about their rabbis, very important. So they don't get spoiled. The way we ourselves react to things that happen to us is an example for them. When things don't go our way, what do they hear in the house? Anyway, there's a lot more on this subject, as for examples, but I think it's pretty clear. I don't think anyone has any doubt that this is a serious issue. It's probably the worst issue that you can give a young man or a young lady. I don't think there's something worse than spoiling someone. And yet it comes from the same pipe as ahava, which maybe is the most important thing you can give somebody. Amazing, only the Creator can make something like ahava be so powerful and necessary and so destructive at the same time. But this is the challenge that stands inside in every one of us. One time I heard a great man say the following. Says, when I give my child, I give them what they need and maybe more. So do I teach them to be givers, or am I teaching them to be takers? A taker, not a great person. A giver is the best of the best. So when I give my children, I'm a good father, I'm a good mother, I give them. Which value are they walking away with? Are they becoming givers because they see that their parents give them? Or are they takers? Takers because they're taking. Very important question. What value do I give my son or daughter when I give them something? So the answer this great man said was so beautiful. I have it in my mind for many, many, many tens of years. That it all depends on the way things are given. If I'm giving my children because I feel obligated for their success, if I give them because I want them to enjoy. If the giving begins with me, so that I'm teaching them to be a giver. But if the giving is starting with them, meaning that they want, and that's where my gift came from. It's because they wanted, they demanded. They're kicking and screaming on the floor. They went on a hunger strike for an hour. I'm not eating. My mother said, you're not eating? Fine. Get you the toy right now. Hold on. Hazit, the kid has to eat. I can't see my son like this. If the giving is coming from the recipient and he needs it, he gotta have it. So he's learning the value of taking. So it depends where things come from. In this area, it comes out, by the way, just a few examples, so we don't have any confusion. To make sure we have clarity, sometimes examples are worthwhile, but they're not, of course, limited to the example. So you're going to be surprised by this. But it's not healthy to overemphasize your love to your children to the point where they feel that you need them more than they need you. For example, taking them and kissing them 100 times a day. Comments like, I can't take you. Once in a while you could say that. But when it becomes the theme that every time or many times that you're with them, it almost feels like to them that you need them because of how much they give you pleasure. Too many kisses are not healthy. Because when it crosses the line of they need you, and now you need them, so you're starting into spoil world. Of course, you kiss them, you love them, you tell them. But there is a line that I think you've all witnessed where sometimes a person goes overboard. Where they make their children feel that they need them. That becomes the beginning of unhealthiness. Again, we're not talking about regular ways of loving somebody. As for shalom, God forbid. Again, I assume you know what I'm talking about. And I assume you've seen sometimes exaggerated, a grandparent exaggerated, to the point where like, nafsho keshura ben nafsho, where they feel like it's one heart, me and him. Like, whatever I do is landing by him and he needs me. He's got to see me. It's nice to be loved, but to be needed is a step in the wrong direction. An example that happens all the time by young children, even as they get older. Usually they get older because the way it was handled when they were younger. What happens when a kid says, I'm not in the mood to eat this? Okay, what do you want to order?
Where should we order from?
Kids gotta eat.
He's gotta eat. Uber Eats. Let's go.
I know many, many, many families where the children have the authority, the right,
the privilege.
If they don't like what's on the table, they order out. Mother's cooking, prepared, hard work. Not in the mood for that.
Now, if they're allergic to it, obviously, we're not talking. If it makes them sick, we're not talking about that. That's not what I'm talking about.
But if it's regular food, they're just not in the mood. They prefer a piece of chicken than a piece of fish. And of course, as a caring father and mother, what's the big deal? So they order out.
It's a big mistake. It's a mistake that the kid will pay for when he gets older. Same logic. Again, it's a small thing. What's the big deal? And the mother wants him to eat. She wants him to enjoy. Hazid, he's starving. He just came from school. He was just playing ball. It's love. It's not anything but.
But it's a mistake. It's feeding the desire and spoiling. If that's what's for dinner, a young child is able to know that's for dinner. You know you can eat it. Nothing wrong with it. He kicks and screams, it makes no difference. Don't be so worried. Have confidence. There are many, many people, many of us, that lose our confidence with our children. With other people in business, strong. No negotiations. This is my price. When it comes to your children, they melt like ice cream on a 100-degree day. What happened to your confidence? What happens to your... This is my stance. And it's my kids, I guess. We become scared of making decisions. Because we're afraid of who knows what. A mother needs to be confident in her values, as does the father. Nothing's gonna happen to the kid if he goes hungry for an hour. At some point, he's gonna get more hungry and he's gonna eat whatever he needs to eat. The lesson you've given him is way greater than the satisfaction of his hunger that will come earlier through the food that's ordered. When you fed him early, you gave him a momentary satisfaction. When you waited an hour, you gave him a life satisfaction. Sometimes we trade in the moment for something much bigger.
I want to explain that, Charlie. Saying good.
I mean, why would a parent who cares so much about their children not understand this? We're not talking here very deep thoughts that are from the secrets of the Torah. We're talking very simple, simple things. Nobody here is listening and saying, "Ah, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. It's logic. It's obvious. It's simple." So why would someone not live by these principles that are very simple for the people they care about most? So I'm going to give you a few different reasons why people have an urge to spoil their children. So beware of these issues. obviously the number one reason is that a father or mother feels complete when they give their children everything. Meaning, unlike other people, I look at my children as an extension of me. So when they're complete, I feel complete. I feel like a great mother when my kids have everything. And when they don't, I feel like a lousy mother. I feel I'm not complete. When my kids have everything they want and everything they need at the right time, I feel like I am a complete person. Anything that takes away from their completion takes away from mine. I don't want to feel incomplete with my important job of parenting my children. I want them to have everything. So the feeling that you need to be complete makes you feel incomplete when it looks like they're not complete. Obviously, that's a mistake. Because in reality, very often when they're not complete, they're becoming complete. You're just misunderstanding the screen. You think by not getting what they want, so they're incomplete. They're incomplete for the moment, but they're actually becoming more complete because they're becoming more capable people. So you're just misreading. You translate complete by the wrong items. Of course we want them to be complete. But the question is, what is complete? Who says getting whatever they want is called complete? Where did that come from? So since it's physical and it's quantifiable, so you think that's what's called complete. It's a mistake. It's just a simple mistake in calculation. You're right to want them to be complete. But know, what does it mean to be complete? You're not here for the moment. You're here to make them complete in their life. Another type of situation which leads to spoiling a child is that sometimes there is some friction between the parents with each other. When there is friction in the home between a father and a mother, so there's an automatic guilt that shows up in that they're somehow cheating their children. Since they're not really together and they're fighting, it's not the right home for a child. They know that. Hazid, the kid, that he has to deal now with parents who don't get along. So there's a certain amount of guiltiness that comes into the person. And once you feel guilty about what you think you're doing wrong to your son or daughter, so automatically now you need to overcompensate. Now you gotta give in to whatever they say because they're having a hard enough time with this issue. So I gotta be able to give them here so that I can fulfill what's missing there. Very, very normal reaction. But again, obviously it's wrong. The way to fix that problem is A, not to fight. But if indeed a person is not getting along, it doesn't help to overcompensate in areas that are not good for the person. Sometimes this happens when the father or mother grew up in a home that was lacking either love or abilities or money. When you grow up poor, whatever poor means, doesn't necessarily have to be poor in money, but if when you grew up poor and you didn't like it, and you always had jealousy of other people who had what you didn't have, and now you are capable of giving them what you lacked throughout your childhood, which made you feel very bad, and you said to yourself, my kids will never lack what I was lacking. You make a pledge to your children based on your own experiences, and now you go on this mission of making sure whatever you didn't have, they're gonna have. You just keep checking the boxes. X here, double check here. Another X here, check here. We never went on vacation. We're going on 4 every year. 4 a year to make sure. And in case they missed the first 3, we're gonna get them the 4th time. Of course, you know the many, many examples that this could lead to. It comes from a good place, but it's the wrong hesbon, wrong calculation. Just because you are lacking things, first of all, doesn't necessarily mean that you turned out so bad. And even if you did, it's not because necessarily you didn't get things. Maybe you weren't handled right. Maybe your father was too strong and could have given you more, and you should give more. That's okay. But you got to know the line. Don't allow yourself free type of attitude because of the things that you are lacking. Another example where someone would feel the need to spoil is when they're really not giving their children too much attention. Father travels every week, is home for a couple of days. Even when he's home, he's on his phone. So the kid don't really get to spend much time with him, meaningful time at least. When a person is absentee, so he needs to make up for it. So every time he comes from a trip, he comes home with a gift. What can I get you? To compensate for time lost. And I think you could figure out the rest on your own, other examples, but these are some primary examples. Bottom line, the greatest danger you can give your son or daughter or someone that you care about is that in life you get things for free. That's a very bad value and bad luck. That in life you're supposed to get things for free and people are supposed to be taking care of you in every turn, at every situation. That is the worst possible lesson that you can instill in a young person. It will be with them for the rest of their life unless they are listening to this class as well and realize that maybe they're the product of that. And now they have the ability to change. Everyone could change. A father could change, a mother could change, a child could change. Everyone can change, but they have to be aware. Awareness of this wisdom gives people a much greater chance of happiness and success in life. Baruch Allah, Amen.